This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. You don't have to be a techie to have your life affected by the latest gadgets. Well, what about crime? Tracking neighborhood gunfire may no longer be a shot in the dark, and if you're trying to get from A to B quickly, does using GPS make more sense than using a good old-fashioned map? Finally, how much computer time is too much for school children? The man with the plan is our own tech expert, Mario Armstrong. Hey, Mario.
Hey, Farai, how are you?
So, I'm great. What about ShotSpotter? It's this new technology for tracking crime. What exactly is it?
Yeah, so there's a couple of companies that are out there. ShotSpotter seems to be one of those that's getting a little bit more of attention, and that may be because they've been doing it probably the longest and have the largest footprint of example customers, that being cities that are actually utilizing it. But what it is essentially, in layman's terms, it's a gunshot detection hardware and software system. And what that means is, if someone pulls a trigger in an open area where this technology has been deployed, this technology, which is made up of acoustic mics that are placed in strategic locations throughout a city, could actually pinpoint the location of that gunshot and actually even give a little bit more detail than that. It can actually give whether or not the gunshot was taken while in movement, which direction the gunshot actually came from, and the speed of travel. So they could actually tell if someone was physically standing and shooting or even if someone was doing a drive-by shooting.
Well, you know, Newark, New Jersey has installed a similar system called Community Eye. And one thing that comes to mind is this whole stop snitching movement. And will this technology give police a way to track crime even if people don't want to testify? Or is it going to just take the burden off of people who should be stepping up to the plate? What do you think about that?
That's a great question. I mean, we are living in a time where you brought up Stop Snitching. Famous for starting in Baltimore, a DVD was created about it, and it's actually being studied in universities across the country. And essentially what it is witness intimidation. It's like, hey, don't talk about what's going on in your neighborhood, or don't snitch on things that are happening in your neighborhood or else. So maybe this type of technology doesn't even involve a concerned citizen, because like I mentioned, it can triangulate the sound of that type of activity. And in some cases, Farai, it's starting to show that it may even be better than the human ear. In other words, if a concerned citizen hears a gunshot in their neighborhood and they make a phone call, how well can they really say where that gunshot came from? And so you just don't, or how many shots actually took place? Did you hear an echo, or what was it, two shots, or really was it five shots? So this technology has proven to be at least very much smarter than the average citizen could ever be, because it can really pinpoint whether or not there's echoes, whether or not there's false alarms, and maybe remove this whole idea of having to, I hope it doesn't remove the idea of calling the police in the first place. I don't think that's what this technology should do or can do, but I think it can certainly aid those that are scared to call or are feeling intimidated to call the police. Here's another tool that could help you solve crimes in your neighborhood without you being put on the hook.
Let's talk about transportation technology. Some New York City taxi drivers are on strike this week, and one of their beefs is that the city wants them to install global positioning systems, or GPS, for passengers. Now, a lot of new cars have these, you know, pre-installed GPS. You can buy them to slot on in your car for anywhere from $300 to $10,000. And the whole idea is that, hey, if you get in a cab with GPS and somebody says, do you want to take the Triborough Bridge? You can like punch up a few things and say, well, actually, the Triborough is backed up, so let's take such and so and so. But I don't know if that's going to work. And how well are these GPS systems working in general for people?
Okay, so in general, for the average everyday consumer, GPS really works very well. The technology has really matured, and as you mentioned, you're starting to see it pre-installed in cars. You're also starting to see more handheld portable devices that are coming under the $300 price tag, which is making it much more accessible and affordable to people. And you're starting to see people really benefit from the use of GPS, which in its basic terms is an ability to look at a screen that gives you a map or a satellite view, if you wish, of where you currently are and where you intend to go. You could have multiple destinations or reroute you around traffic. The other thing that really is popular about GPS is what's called point of interest. And these are things that may be of interest to you along a path, maybe ATM machines or hospitals or parks or universities or restaurants. So they become more than just get me to point A to point B, something I can already do with maybe MapQuest or Google Maps, but it actually allows me as I'm driving or as I'm moving to change and alter my schedule and tell me how that may affect my arrival times and destinations.
Now, does it account, do most of these devices account for weather conditions, traffic conditions, all these other things that actually really make how fast you get someplace really critical?
Yeah, and I think that's part of why the New York City cab drivers, the association out there, has decided to do this two-day strike, because I think part of them feels like, hey, wait a minute, this is just too much scrutiny on us. I mean, GPS, is it really that valuable to the consumer in this car? And you know, I think they may feel like there's a little bit just too much scrutiny going on with having GPS, but maybe some of the rogue drivers that are in that have happened. I mean, I don't know about you, Farai, but I'm sure there's been some times when I've been in a cab where they've taken the long route.
Oh, yeah.
To get me to my destination. And so I don't know if I'm directly answering your question, but as it relates to GPS in these fleet of vehicles, I think the consumers want it because they want to be able to have alternatives. But answering your specific question, they have become smarter in terms of real-time traffic issues. So if there's an accident, if there's a toll road, if there's a bridge problem, if there's bad weather, some systems, not all, mostly on your higher end,
the expensive
cost,
ones.
The expensive ones can accommodate for real time traffic conditions.
I get into a good old taxi fight at least once a year, but I
well,
rarely
just
win.
Imagine.
Don't go head to head with the cab driver. They're always like, "Well, what, you want me to let you out on this corner?" So
right, that's true too. But if you're armed in the back seat with a GPS device telling you, "Well, look right here," you know, I don't know what you're seeing, but this is what I'm seeing. You might have a more much stronger argument that may tick them off even more.
It depends if you're in the middle of the highway. But finally, let's right. Let's get to our education related content. We are doing an education series, and there's all these computer-like gadgets out there for kids, you know, in the 3 to 6 year old range. They things like Leapfrog, they resemble PCs, they're not quite PCs. Is it really important to get kids familiar with working on computers or computer-like devices, or is this something that they'll catch up to later just fine?
Yeah, you know, this is an age-old question. I continue to receive email and questions about this. And by and large, you know, kids learn, I'm convinced anyway, kids learn in spurts. Now, I feel that kids need to be introduced to the basics of technology. It's not going away. It's here to stay. And we want our kids to be able to perform just like any other kids, and we want them to be as competitive as their peers. So do you need to have them in front of a computer each and every day? Absolutely not. You need to have everything in balance. But certainly, if your kid isn't using the computer, they may be at a little bit of a behind the gun a little bit, if you will. Get them using basics, Farai. Just using the mouse. Let them play with some of their favorite cartoon websites. Things that are safe for them to visit online, just to get used to and comfortable with a keyboard and a mouse and what a right click and a left click means and what does this thing do.
Yeah, but you know what? When that stuff in the sippy cup spills into the mouse is dead. So do you actually want them on your computer?
That's why you want to buy spill-proof. What we bought our four-year-old was spill-proof sippy cups, although they're not always 100%. But, you know, I have a young kid. He's 4 years old, just turned 5. And believe it or not, as much technology that we have
Happy
in the household.
Happy belated birthday.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that. We don't push it on him, though. We let him gravitate to it. We make things relevant that he enjoys and use that as a way of connecting him. We don't want it to be something that he can't still interface with other kids, that he can't still communicate. But he clearly needs to know that this vehicle and this tool is here. And he's not, it's not so foreign to him when he sees it in a classroom. We are seeing more and more of these devices show up in our classrooms a lot sooner. Kids these days are now being asked to deliver PowerPoint presentations, which many people in the office environment still struggle to do. So this is happening, and it's something that we do need to pay attention to. And you just need to know the maturity level of your kid and what they can and can't handle. But clearly expose them, folks. Please expose them to technology.
What? Just quick pop, what's your son's favorite thing to do?
His favorite thing to do is probably just to go. He loves an iPod. He's figured out how to work my iPhone, which is good. I just let him play with technology, whether it's right or wrong. But the most fun that he gets is probably going online to, he's graduated from Sesame Street. That used to be his favorite place. Now he's on to Star Wars. And so he goes to StarWars.com and
Smart man.
A lot of educational things as it relates to science and space.
All right. Well, Mario, thanks for the tips.
Not a problem.
Mario Armstrong is News & Notes tech contributor. He also covers technology for member stations WYPR and WEAA in Baltimore, and he spoke with us from the Baltimore Sun studios.